Yeah, so I'm gonna just introduce ourselves, and then Stefan is gonna give the first part of the presentation. So today our topic is plasmonic nanoparticles and their use on cancer therapy. And I am Mohammed. My major is in cell and molecular biology.
My major is chemistry. I'm sorry, I'm biology student. And
I'm Stefan, and my major is in biology.
you can start.
Okay. But then you need to change the slides.
Yes.
Yeah, so okay, today we are going to talk about plasmonic nanoparticles and how to use them in cancer therapy. And is in at first it is important to visualize what nanomaterials or what these nanoparticles mean. So nanoparticles are extremely small particles which can be composed of different materials, often metals. And nanoparticles are just round small particles, but we also will feature different geometries like nanorods or stars. And what is as well is an important point is that we always keep in mind that these particles need to be colloidal to really work for biological systems. And colloidal means that the gravitational force working on these particles is smaller than their Brownian motion, so that in the end they will move through the medium like an atom. And because in our case the particles are often gold, and it's also important to think about the biofunctionalization, because gold nanoparticles, as you can see on the right side, tend to attract all sorts of ions and molecules. So if we would not biofunctionalize these nanoparticles, they would form protein coronas, which would be very damaging to the cells. Can you change the slides, please? So what can be done with surface plasmon nanoparticles is that in the end, light is an electromagnetic field which is propagating. And you can see on the, well, basically in the middle of the slide, that these this propagating electromagnetic field is able to have an influence on the gold nanoparticle, because gold nanoparticles are have oscillating electron clouds, which can then be brought into motion to really move up and down. And because there are such small particles, these electrons are not really described in a band. So they are described in a band model, but they are described in a more distinguished band model. So what happens is that these particles have oscillating electron clouds, which then are in an elevated energy level. And because we are talking very much about thermal therapy in this presentation, on the right side I featured a Jablonski diagram, which shows that it is possible to excite these nanoparticles and then by internal conversion bring these elevated energy levels back to their ground level. And this heat which is thereby produced and then be used for photothermal therapy, which will be explained by Mohammed later. And because gold nanoparticles have a absorbance at a wavelength of 500 to basically 800 nanometers, it is possible to excite them with near-infrared light, which helps the therapeutic use. Because infrared light, as discussed before, has a very high penetration depth because it's not absorbed by biological or molecules or by water. So it is possible to penetrate some tissues with near-infrared laser lights. And to just quickly give you then an mathematical introduction is that these IHCE means that internal light to heat conversion efficiency, which just describes P as the power of the incident laser light, of course, dependent on the absorption wavelength. And then the sum of these products of M and C is the mass of the particle and the heat capacity of the system. So in the end, what happens is that with the incident light, nanoparticles are able to convert the power of the electromagnetic field into heat. And then A is the Kelvin per second. So A is just then the conversion, also the heating up of the system. So basically, the bigger A is, the better the this heat to a light to heat conversion is.
Oh, now it's my part. So now I'm gonna present an application of this plasmon enhanced surface plasmon resonance of nanoparticles. So the first, and it will be in cancer therapy. So the first application is plasmon enhanced photothermal therapy. So just photothermal therapy is using some kind of materials that convert electromagnetic waves or light to heat, and this heat kills cancer cells. So this is just photothermal therapy, and traditionally at first laser was used directly to heat up certain area of the tumor, and it was kind of targeted radiation therapy, but it had problems of destroying also healthy cells, and it's a very damaging system. And then people tried using traditional photothermal agents, those that absorb light and produce some heat, but the problem was they didn't have much absorption in the near infrared region, which have already many people talked about, that it's necessary to penetrate deeper into the tissue. And another problem was that these photothermal agents also suffered from photo bleaching, and they also didn't produce a lot of heat. So then came the idea of using noble metal nanoparticles, such as iron or silver, or such as gold or silver. And gold is mostly studied in for photothermal therapy. And one major advantages of using noble metal nanoparticles is their surface plasmon resonance, which is explained by Kevin. And so the strategy is simple. So we put gold nanoparticles inside inside body near the tissue, and with some magic it finds the cancer cell, and then we excite light, we shine light on it, and it produces heat. And now we will see what is that magic, and how can we tune the heat that is produced by this. So first of all, the surface plasmon resonance phenomenon is behind all of these things, especially behind the controlling of the region, absorption region of the nanoparticles. And we can tune it by using different types of metal like gold or silver, or we can tune the shapes. Like there are gold nanospheres, like ball of gold atoms and gold nanorods and gold nanoshell. The nanoshell is it's slightly different from the nanosphere because inside of the shell there is silica core and there is a thin layer of gold atoms outside. So here are some microscopic images of them, nanoscopic. And so changing the shapes changes the absorbance maxima, and also changing the size also changes them. So here are some graphs. So if we look at the first one, this is for gold nanospheres, so the balls. And if we change the shapes, change the sizes, like if we increase the size, then the maximum absorbance will redshift it. So it will go in near the near infrared region. And the increasing of the decreasing of size will make it to go to near infrared region. And if we look at gold nanorods, then the strategies to control the aspect ratio, the length and width of the gold nanorods. So if the ratio increases, so if the nanorods become longer, then the surface resonance, surface plasma resonance absorbance, it redshifts. And in case of gold nanoshells, if we make the outer gold layer very thin, then it will go near the near infrared region. So by changing the size and shapes, we can make these nanoparticles work more in deeper of the region. So another advantage of gold nanoparticles for this photothermal therapy is they have an intrinsic property to go inside the cancer cells. There is a fancy term for that, EPR effect, enhanced permeability and retention effect. So the idea behind it is that the cancer cells are very fast dividing, so they need a lot of nutrients. So they need to produce a lot of blood vessels, and for that they release BGF and other factors, and also they have many pores in their outer layer, in the cancer cells outer layer. So small particles like gold nanoparticles or liposome or even macromolecules can go inside very easily. And these cancer cells also have like imperfect lymphatic system. So if unnecessary things go inside those cells, it is very hard for the cancer cells to let them out. So that's why gold nanoparticles aggregate and accumulate inside the cancer cells. So this is a passive way of targeting cancer cells. There are also two active ways. One is used by using polyethylene glycol, and another is like antibody using like connecting antibodies with the nanoparticles, which recognizes certain markers on the cancer cells. So gold nanoparticles are very good for targeting cancer cells. So now another benefit is that gold nanoparticles can as they are very sensitive to light, short pulse of laser, like femtosecond lasers can be used, and they produce a lot of heat. So thus, the electron temperatures can go like several thousand Kelvin, which increases the surrounding temperatures like 10, several tens of degrees. So what it does inside the tissue is that it creates, like, if the normal temperature is 37 degrees, it can go up to like 60, 70, even 90, even 100 degrees, and it will instantly vaporize the surrounding like a bomb exploding under water, and it will kill off the surrounding cells. So this is an extreme example of the extreme use of the gold nanoparticles. But if we can change the intensity of the laser, and we can minimize it, and we can and minimize the destruction also. And so the summary of using plasmon-enhanced photothermal therapy is like there are some major benefits, like near infrared region absorbance, doing greater damage, and they are also very specific. And another benefit is they are very stable. So this is another benefit compared to the traditional substances, but there is a limitation, at least for now. These nanoparticles have poor biodegradability, so they are very hard to get rid of from the body.
Okay, thanks, Mona. Tell us about the plasmon enhanced photothermal cancer therapy. And now I will introduce another kind of cancer therapy to you. Also, is plasmon enhanced. And before start, let's get into the photodynamic cancer therapy. You can have a look at this picture, and this is called photosensitizer. And when they got absorbed the light, they will transfer the energy to the surrounding oxygen, and in order to generate the ROS, which can directly destroy the cell organelle. By doing this, we cure the cancer. And this method has some advantage, such as fewer side effects, less cumulative toxicity, accurately targeted therapy, and no damage to adjacent normal tissues. But the conventional PDT is unable for using in diagnosis of deeply rooted tumors, because the photosensitizer can only absorb intensively in blue or UV range of light, but this kind of light is hard to penetrate it into deep tissue. So the combination of NIR responsive of conversion nanoparticles with photosensitizer solve this problem. So what is not unconversion photoluminescence is also known as anti-Stokers, and this picture shows this. And you can up conversion means a quenchal absorption of two or more photons, and to lead to emission at a wavelength that is shorter than the excitation light. And also, so this way, they got the design frequency of light to generate the ROS. And also the upconversion luminance from the upconversion nanoparticles can also be turned to match the exactly the absorption of this specific photosensitizer. Okay, I bet you have already know some basic concept of this therapy. And you can have a look at this beautiful picture and you will see the transfer energy and the reaction here. So is that really perfect for the cancer therapy? No, there's still some challenging remains. For example, the short penetration depth of light and the low extinction coefficient of the photosensitizer. Then the nanocomposite consists of upconvert nanoparticles conjugated with golden nano rods. This is plasmon enhanced, was developed to improve this therapeutic efficiency of PDT. How does it work? The plasmon the plasmonic nanostructure just behaves like a nano attainers, which is capable of improving the reception and the transmission of incident light filled by the luminescent center. And this is also called plasmon enhanced fluorescence. Okay, so let's have a look how the performance of this specific nano composite. You can see firstly from this chart, this shows how the cell viability changed with or without the NIR exposure and injected by different nanocomposites. And you can easily find a huge gap between this column, which shows the upconversion nano road injection in the cancer cell. So we can easily find the viability of cancer cell with gold nanorod sharply drop after the irradiation compared to others. As for this picture, we can see the cell viability change through the time of exposing to irradiation. There are three kinds of different nanocomposites. And the yellow one, it dropped so fast, is with the nano rod. So from these two pictures, we can easily find out that the plasmon enhanced photodynamic cancer therapy is really good in this area and it achieved a high therapeutic efficiency. Okay, now I think the plasmon enhancement cancer therapy is going to end, and later my fellow Subi will tell you how the plasmon nanostructure itself used in the cancer therapy.
Okay, we can take a short look at another application of these nanoparticles called synergistic immunophotodermal nanotherapy or SIMPHONY. It is based on a combination of immunotherapy and plasmonic gold nanostars that are kind of nanoparticles here. And the effect is synergistic, not just adding one. And it is a photothermal therapy with plasmas as well. And it is mainly used in cancer therapy to improve immunotherapy results. And so it acts in a targeted removal of tumors and cancer cells with heat and it has been successful in the ablation of local and metastatic tumors, and it also has an interesting vaccine effect where there is an immune memory that is forming against the cancer that was treated with this Symphony method, so it would not react there. And here is an example. You can see mice before and after photodermal cancer therapy of 3 days. In the A part, there is this poor mouse who was in control and was only getting the laser heating, but with PBS injection. And you can see that the tumor has continued to grow. But in the B part, they used cold nanostars that were injected in the vasculars. And with this laser and immune treatment, you can see that the tumor has shrunk quite much. So more about the cold nanostars. They are star-like nanoparticles, like you can see in the picture and the 3D model. And they have these short branches that create stronger electromagnetic fields in the tips, which leads in the stronger heating of the tumors because they have this better absorption to scattering ratio than other nanoparticles. And this makes that the less laser power is then needed, which is also better for the tissues. Cold nanostars are also used in bioimaging because they have this intense surface enhanced Raman scattering, among other things. They are used, for example, mostly with nucleic acids like DNA. And they can be tuned, like Muhammad explained earlier. And the ideal peak absorption band is in the near infrared light for the reasons that were already discussed. And this also take advantage of the EPR effect that Muhammad explained. And for this reason, it is best to have 10 to 100 nanometer long cold nanostars. So they would passively accumulate in the in and around the tumors. And how the Symphony treatment itself works, like I said, it combines the cold nanostars use and the immune checkpoint antibodies. You can see that the cancer usually affects the immune system by altering how the immune cells and other things work. And with these immune checkpoint antibodies, like for example, PD-1 inhibitors, they will allow the immune system to work better and normally. And when they put the laser light in the tumors, the cold nanostars will start heating them and they will be destroyed, and which releases damage-associated molecular pattern molecules and heat shock proteins, which leads to immune system activation. And in turn, this will destroy distant tumors and metastasis and lead to dying distant tumor cells. So in this area, it is a great potential for cancer therapies in the future. And also it is because not all the people will react same way in the same cancer treatments. It is like good for more people.
Welcome. More technical question. So when the tumor or cancer cells are in deeper tissues, how would you then get the laser light from them? So like, of course, this therapy works when you can apply the laser through the tissue where then the tumor and the nanoparticles are located, but when it's like further down to the body, it's like then we put everything aside to put the laser on there. So I was just asking about it. I think there are some approaches maybe how to get light there.
Yes, it is the near infrared
other presentations. It will not be optional by the basis, and it will travel to them to the nanostar, which will then actually then.
Is it really like this step in here, but can we pass complete species of the organs to other organs which are probably unmeasurable?
The main barrier for the visible is like not to pass it the things inside ourselves. There are many things that have shown that visible is like the hemoglobin, which has the red light. So in the near infrared region, there are less things that have the so that's why it's double part.
But further is 1 or 2 millimeters. Yeah, so one. But of course, if you, you know the trick, you can put the green light to your finger, you don't see a thing, and if you put the red light power point, you can start to see the effect. So after all, you can with the red light and near in asset, near in red light penetrates, but still it's in a matter of 2 millimeters.
I don't think he's doing it. I think there was like a thought at another science story where they talked about it as well.
So you mentioned this penetration problem that it doesn't go more than, but do you have any solutions? Did you come up with any solutions of this other than the wavelength? Here, this picture. Goes near and still it doesn't go.
There's also some circles here. And they for example, we can see here the NR light come through to the light center, and there are some circles from the plasmon enhanced plasmon nanostructures through with the light center, so it will enhance the.
Yeah, okay, but still the light doesn't go more than a few millimeters in really being the power, in terms of power.
Yeah, so. You were talking about the nanostructure.
There was one guy who.
That's
what I'm remembering, actually. What was the one?
You can also like adjust some sort of thing on the tool with
very close to them,
yeah. It's the
yeah,
the one. Yeah, it's the one.
This
is just the energy type of thing. If you can connect two chemicals together, they will like stick closely. And when you you have to somehow prepare it from outside the body, but then you can the fluorescent will emit within the region that will excite the nanoparticles. But somehow you need to trigger it. And the triggering part may be damaging to our body.
Yeah, but I have also thought that there are lasers which are this size, but you really swallow it and then it goes to the plane. So really nanorobots are into your body. Really funny laser, so like a tablet of the optic or something like that. Would we carry them to the research?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Above the slide where there was 3 spectra. This is some of that within SPR. The one, this is so that with SPR, we can manipulate the size and the shape of the nanoparticles. And here in the 3rd spectrum, I
didn't quite understand that why that the increasing of the size gives them absorption maximum towards the near infrared. What is the idea?
I also don't understand. Yeah, understand physics behind it. Maybe can tell you better, but by changing the what I understand is by changing the size and shape, you can tune the SPR, but I don't know how it works.
So when I understand it correctly, when it's about the thickness that we would increase the how is it called? So we would increase the effective area where the plasmons could oscillate. So with a hollow nanoparticle, there would be more space to oscillate, basically, because then there would be these two sides where they can, so basically multiple sides where they can oscillate, and the higher or the bigger this size of the oscillation can be, the lower the wavelength should be. So if we have a full, so like a really mild particle which is filled out, then there can only be the oscillation like all the way through the nanoparticle, and with these hollows, it would go around, and that would be basically with this particle in a box theory, bigger box basically, and the bigger the box, the lower the energy needed. I'm missing some English words right now, but if that was anyhow helpful.
Also, surface area also increases in case of if the surface area increases, the surface electron also, there are more electrons on the surface. Yeah. So there are more things to resolve. So maybe
more oscillation and then
maybe that has something to do.
I think the easiest way to understand is that because the nanoparticles are so small, basically all the electrons are in the surface. Okay. But you have a point there. But the easiest how to explain it is that if you have a round particle like this, then you have a very tiny volume to oscillate. Don't get soon. You have a very small volume to oscillate, and it goes faster. The resonance frequency is faster. If you have a rod, or the little, no, the bigger rod, you have a, and it depends on polarization. If you excite it in this direction of light, it's the same nanoparticle. But if you excite in this direction of light, which is done here, then you have a much longer distance to travel, and it goes lower frequencies, which means longer wavelength. That's a basically easy explanation. There's a much more. There's much more on that, but I think we have to stop because there's the next starting. Thank you. And now let's try to return the power to the daughter. Please do so.
I want to comment that the presentation today is already nice.
Yeah.
So good job.